I don't know all the needs that you're going to have this coming year, and I don't know all the needs that I have in my own personal life. I don't know the needs of our congregation. I think I know some of them as we're planning and preparing for the coming year, but I don't know all of them. And, you know, as we think about what happened this past year and where we're going in the days to come, we can't worry about what happened yesterday. We can't fret over what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, God is the God of now. He's the God of the present. And we need to learn how to live in the present and to know how to best be prepared for what is going to come. You know, but the one thing that I do know that we need this coming year, we need God's wisdom. Every step that we take, we need to know with confidence that we're walking in His truth, we're walking in His light, that what we're doing is bringing glory and honor to Him in everything that is taking place, and we find great fulfillment in that. No Christian would ever say, "I don't need God's wisdom." But how often do we find ourselves making decisions based on our wisdom, what we think is best, what after weighing it all out, believe that we know what is the best course of action rather than truly seeking God and what we need to do, not just in the big decisions of life, but it's in the little decisions of life. You know, I found in my own experience that it's in the daily walk, the daily maintenance of life, making those wise decisions helps prepare us to be wise for the big decisions that are going to come. And so I want to talk about that this morning as we look into 2021. If you will, open your Bibles to James chapter 1. James is a great place for us to discover what is God's wisdom, how we can possess God's wisdom, and what does that really mean? What does the wisdom of God really mean? And I think James says it well in this very familiar passage. We're not going to go through all of the text that I'll read today, but focus in on this idea of wisdom. Here, let's start at verse 1. James, a slave of God, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, or the diaspora, your translation may say. That means scattering. It is a dispersing of the Christians during a period of heavy persecution. And James is writing to those who are being persecuted for their faith in Christ. "Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways." Now, the fact is that we need wisdom. And I want to share some facts about wisdom that I think will really help us in these early days of 2021. First, notice, why do you need wisdom? Why do you need wisdom? Here he says in verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom." Now, the word "if" there is not arguing doubt. He's making a suppositional statement. He is making an assumption. It really is better translated, "since you lack wisdom." It's known that we don't possess all wisdom, and anybody in their right mind recognizes that he needs wisdom. And notice he says, "any of you." Jesus would say those who are weary and heavy burden, those who worry, those who are anxious, those who are sick, those who are in temptation, those who are in sin, that it's any of you, we are able to come and ask God for wisdom. Notice he says, "if you lack wisdom." We are people who are made with desires. Now, why do we have desires? It's because we lack something. We don't have everything that we need. Although, the only exception is in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve had everything that they needed, but they had this desire, innate desire for wisdom. And by their choice, they sinned against God. So because sin entered the world, we lack. And when we lack, there is a desire. And when there is a desire, we ask. And that's what James is showing, how it plays itself out in our human nature. So it takes passion, not just perception, to have wisdom. There ought to be something inside of us that is passionately desiring God's wisdom. And so it's a time to check, to evaluate. Am I really wanting God's wisdom? Am I wanting that wisdom to consider it, to negotiate it, or to obey it? You know, when people come in for counseling, why are they coming in? Are they coming in to consider it, to debate it, or to follow the advice that is given to them in order to take the right step? So if I lack wisdom, then I need to have a passionate desire to possess God's wisdom. Secondly, what is wisdom? It's a great question. We really need to think this through. What is wisdom? Webster says in his dictionary, the quality of being wise, power of judging rightly and following the soundest course of action based on knowledge, experience, understanding, etc. It's basically good judgment, he says. Well, there are three basic definitions of wisdom. Wisdom is the art of learning how to succeed. Those who were before us said that the universe is created with order, and for a person to find happiness and success in life, they need to align themselves with the created order. Secondly, there are those who would say wisdom is a philosophical study of the essence of life, that it is a philosophical study of what life is all about. When you read Job and Ecclesiastes, what is that? Really, it's spiritual in nature, but it's a philosophical understanding of the existential questions of life. Who am I? Why am I here? What does this all mean? Where is this going? That's what Job and Ecclesiastes is all about. Great books to study concerning what does life mean. And so some view it in that way. But ultimately, wisdom is spiritual. As is true that all problems are spiritual in nature, that all wisdom is spiritual in nature, ultimately, God's wisdom that we need. Now, when we look at that, wisdom is not a collection of facts. It's not simply knowledge. Facts are one thing, wisdom is altogether something different. And the difference is this, that the wise man knows how to handle the facts that he has. You need the facts. But wisdom is knowing how to handle the facts, how to use the facts properly. There are two extremes. One man has a lot of facts, but he doesn't know what to do with those facts, how to handle those facts. The other extreme is a guy who says he has wisdom, but he doesn't have the facts. Now listen, we're living in a day where the evidence is overwhelming that there are those who say, I have wisdom, but they don't have the facts. In fact, it's hard to find the facts. Somebody says, well, this is what is true. Somebody says, no, this is what is true, and this is what is true. So we can't go to those extremes to understanding what is wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of the facts. It's the proper application of knowledge. Knowledge is a gift that God gives us, but wisdom is too. I need to know how to use the knowledge, the facts that God has given. Now, it's important as we are learning Scripture and understanding what God's trying to say to us. You know, that's the role that a teacher has, is trying to help a person understand what God is saying in His Word. Context is everything. What's going on in the book of James when James is talking about wisdom? The context is suffering. Christians are suffering, and they need God's wisdom. Now, why ask for wisdom when you're suffering? Several reasons. First of all, to manage your suffering correctly. If I'm suffering, I don't want to do something that's going to make my suffering worse. Nobody in their right mind wants to do that. I want to know that I'm handling this suffering properly, so I'm minimizing the pain. I'm trying to minimize the damage so that I'm able to move through the suffering and experience God's healing power in my life. Another reason for wisdom in suffering is to discern the nature of our suffering. In other words, how is it intended for my good? What is the benefit of this suffering? So I need to have a discerning spirit about what this means. Also, to find the step of obedience. What's the next thing that I need to do? Henry Blackaby says it like this: when you're in a point of crisis, what you do next proves what you believe about God. Isn't that a great line? I wish I had thought of it. What you do next proves what you believe about God. So we want to take the right step. We need God's wisdom in a time of suffering, in a time of pain, of hurt, so that I am able to do the right thing. And then finally, why do I need wisdom when I'm suffering? To control my passions. I want to stay under control. You've been around people that when the squeeze is on, they lose control of their emotions or their passions, and they make the suffering far worse. Wisdom, in general, is handling the facts properly, but specifically, it's responding to suffering properly. Now, where is wisdom found? And this is really where the real heart of the issue is. Where is wisdom found? Socrates says the only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. Now, there's truth in that statement. I realize that the older I get, the less I know. The older I get, the more questions I have. You know, when I was young, I thought I knew everything. I had all the answers. Leading a church, you know, just making it happen. And I've said before, but when I was young, I had time to recover if I made a wrong decision. I don't have that time anymore like I did then. You know, as I'm getting older, I'm more careful about some of the decisions that seemed easier to make when I was younger. That's why I really value the way our church is designed, where I have men around me who are able to give me the wisdom that I need, to give godly input through their knowledge of God's Word, through their experience in life, in order that we're making the best decision possible, the wisest decision possible for you as a church. Aristotle said, knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. Well, there's truth in that statement. That, you know, it's wise to know who you are, but also, I would add, to know who God is. I need to know who I am, but the best way to know who I am is to know God. Because if I know Him, He'll help me understand who I am. Benjamin Franklin said, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Right? We all know that. Well, the great philosopher Oprah Winfrey said this: follow your instincts. That's where true wisdom manifests itself. Follow your instincts. I don't know about you, but I can't trust my instincts. I've tried that, and it usually gets me in trouble. You know, people talk about, well, you got to have that gut feeling. Sometimes there's truth in that, because it's there that God will lead us with conviction to do what we need to do. But just my human instinct, no, I cannot trust that. If you want to, today you can go online and you can look up Nostradamus predictions. You can look up astrology predictions for 2021 if you want to find wisdom there. Or you can call a psychic for $1.99 a minute and you'll get all the help that you need knowing what you need to do. But here's the sad thing. People go to those things for wisdom. There are people in our world who actually believe that is where they're going to find wisdom, where they're going to find hope, where they're going to find the next best step for their life. Now, that's a sad commentary on where we are. And it's a sad commentary as far as the church helping people understand where they can find wisdom. I want to give you three sources for wisdom, all right? Number one is God. Number one is God. Verse 5. If any man lacks wisdom, what should he do? Where should he go? He should ask God. he should ask God. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord, that means respect, reverence, awe of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Let me give another passage of Scripture as it relates to King Solomon about how he discovered wisdom. In 1 Kings 3, verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God said, ask, what should I give you? And Solomon replied, you have shown great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness, and integrity. Now stop right there. This is the commentary on David by Solomon. Remember David? Adulterer. Murderer. But he handled his sin redemptively. He repented. He handled it in a right way. And this is the commentary. You see, when we fall, there's hope. There's God's grace. And he has a future for us. And that's what we see. You have continued this great and faithful love for him by giving him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. Lord, my God, you have now made your servant king in my father David's place. Yet I am just a youth with no experience in leadership. Your servant is among your people you have chosen, a people too numerous to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an obedient heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now it pleased the Lord that Solomon had requested this. So God said to him, because you have requested this and did not ask for long life or riches for yourself or the death of your enemies, but you asked discernment for yourself to understand justice, I will therefore do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and understanding heart so that there has never been anyone like you before and never will be again. In addition, I will give you what you did not ask for, both riches and honor, so that no man in any kingdom will be your equal during your entire life. If you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and commandments just as your father David did, I will give you a long life. Now that's where we find wisdom. Solomon knew that in order to gain wisdom, he would ask God, and God gave it to him. Why ask God? Because as we see in Hebrews 4, it is a throne of grace. God wants to give you his wisdom. Notice second source for wisdom is Jesus Christ. And we find him saying it in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, it's kind of a strange passage of Scripture, but it drives home the point. Here it is. As the crowds were increasing, he began saying, this generation is an evil generation. It demands a sign, but no sign will be given. Verse 16, they were asking for a sign. But it won't be given to you except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The queen of the south, that's the queen of Sheba, will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, which is read about in 1 Kings. And look, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at Jonah's proclamation. And look, something greater than Jonah is here. Now what is he saying? There's going to be the judgment. It's going to come. And the men of Nineveh had Jonah come to their city after Jonah went through all he went through, you know, sinned, ran away, he repented, then got back on assignment, went to Nineveh, preached, and there the whole city repented of their sin. And he said there's going to be a judgment, and the people of Nineveh are going to condemn you because there's someone greater than Jonah who has come to preach the good news to you, but you won't repent of your sin. I'm the one who is greater. Jesus Christ is the one where we find wisdom. Paul said it like this to Timothy in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to come to that in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's what Paul said about it. For those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is God's power. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the understanding of the experts. Where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Paul would say in Colossians 2, in him, that is Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. And then finally, the third is the Bible. Notice David said this in Psalm 19. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. Now here's what Paul said to Timothy. But as for you, second to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and what became what and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. As a young boy, Timothy was taught the scripture by Lois and Eunice, his mother and grandmother. And Paul is saying that even as he read the Old Testament scriptures, that's what he had, that it made him wise unto salvation. So there is wisdom in the Word of God. Now, what about human counsel? Is there value in going to somebody else other than God, Jesus, or the Bible? Well, it depends. If what they say lines up with God's Word, yes. You may go to somebody for counsel and they're not a believer, but they're not going to say anything that violates God's Word. In other words, you may go to a doctor. You may go to a clinical physician for mental health. And they're going to be able to help you because what they're going to say doesn't violate the Word of God. I love what Billy Graham said when he was going to have surgery many years ago. They asked him, are you going to find a Christian doctor? He said, no, I'm going to find the best doctor that there is in the world who's going to do this surgery, and I'm going to leave it in God's hands. I'm going to trust him. All right, so we know that we find wisdom as long as it doesn't contradict God's Word. Now, the problem there is that there are people who are trying to find wisdom but don't know enough of God's Word to know whether or not this counsel that I'm getting, does it square with God's Word? And that's why you need to seek people who have an understanding of God's truth to help you know, is this the best advice you can receive? Notice the next question. Will God give wisdom? Notice verse 5. If any man lacks wisdom, he can ask of God, who gives? Who gives? He says, if you ask him, he will give it to you. It's not raising your IQ. That's not what wisdom is. It's helping you have God's perspective about the things you're dealing with in life. That's another way of knowing what wisdom is. It's having God's perspective. That way, I'll make the right decision. I'll make a wise decision. If you ask, he promises to give to you. Well, how much wisdom will God give? Notice he says, generously. He'll give you all that you need. He has unlimited resources. Paul said in Ephesians 3, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask. You ask for wisdom, I'm going to give you more than you ask for. I'm going to give you all the wisdom that you need, plus more than that. According to the power that works in you, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now what is he saying there? The answers far exceed the question. Whatever the need is, whatever the desire is, that he's going to give generously. And notice, he will give to all. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. You need wisdom. Even if you don't know God right now, and you want to know God, it's the wisest thing that you could ever do, is to seek God and to ask Him to come into your life, to possess the relationship of God through Jesus Christ. It's the wisest thing you could ever do. You can do that today. Now, what will God think if you ask for wisdom? That's a real good question. He will never criticize you for asking. Notice he says in verse 5, without criticizing. Why do you hesitate to ask questions? If you're in a classroom, if you're in a certain setting, why do you hesitate to ask questions? You don't want to be embarrassed. It's not so much I'm going to be rejected, it's going to be I'm going to be embarrassed. We're not going to ask any questions. I might have shared before in seminary, I was in a philosophy of religion class, and our professor kept talking about CRI. And one guy in the back, it's really early in the semester, he raised his hand. He said, Dr. Bush, you keep asking or talking about CRI. What is that? And he said, well, you can go across the street to the library. There's 10,000 volumes, and you go look it up. Nobody asked another question, literally, that rest of that semester. Fortunately, I'd read the day before in an article, CRI was Creation Research Institute out of California, that helped science and apologetics go together, how to defend our faith. But boy, I learned right there, I'm not asking any questions. Why? I don't get embarrassed like that. That's how we are by nature. But we need to ask questions. Parents, it's okay for your kids to ask questions. You need to let them ask questions, because if you don't allow them to ask questions about the things of life, they're going to be very hesitant to ask you about the things of God. So don't shut them down. Don't shut them down. Let them talk. I know we get tired of that sometimes, but let them ask questions. You know, also, what does a teacher think to themselves when a student is asking questions? That teacher experiences joy because they've discovered a student who wants to learn. That's why they're asking those questions. Our God is the great teacher, and He experiences great joy when His students are asking questions. He's our great Father, and when His children are asking questions of Him, asking for His wisdom, He finds great delight and great joy in that. It honors Him. It pleases Him. So we need to ask Him. That's what He will think. Listen, He will never condemn you or criticize you for asking Him a question. He'll never do that. Notice, finally, what should you do to receive wisdom? Verse 6, very important. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. If you ask without faith, then you should expect not to receive God's wisdom. Notice he talks about, he uses the word indecisive. It means double-minded, literally double-souled. A double-minded family is unstable. A double-minded church is unstable. A double-minded business is unstable. And so he says we need to be of one mind. In other words, we need to ask believing. We don't ask but then say, oh, he's not going to do that. Boy, I could tell you story after story of praying and praying and praying and praying, waiting on God, wondering, is it really going to happen? And then God comes through. We don't want to be unstable. We want to be single-minded. So when you ask, you must believe, and you'll receive God's wisdom. Now, is there a place in your life right now where you need God's wisdom? Well, if you're alive, there is. All right? All of us. I have my list. You have your list where we need wisdom. I want to give you some steps, some very practical steps at the beginning of 2021 that I promise you will provide wisdom for your life. This is a sure bet thing right here that I'm going to share with you that will help you. It's very practical. It sounds simple, but it is so profound. It is the essence of our Christian walk. It really boils down to this. All right? Number one, Get into God's Word. Read the Scripture. Meditate on the Scripture. Memorize the Scripture. Get into God's Word. Now, you may do that in a variety of ways. You may read some of the Old Testament each day. You might read some of the New Testament. Some of you might want to read through the Bible in an entire year. There are Bibles made for that purpose. There, you can go online and there's a list of daily Bible reading that you can get through the Bible in 1 year. That process is good because you get a holistic view of what's going on in God's Word. You're reading chunks of Scripture. Some of you might just want to study through a book of the Bible, but get into God's Word. You may read a few verses a day. You might read one verse one day. There are many days I'll read one verse, and I'll spend all my time just on that one verse. Or sometimes I'll read a block of Scripture, you know, get the context and all the rest. So get into God's Word. There is wisdom in the Word of God. Listen, well, let me say next. Along with that, along with the Scripture, then you might want to use a devotional book. Now, a devotional book cannot be a substitute for the Word of God. The power is not in what men say about God's Word. The power is in God's Word. Now, it's good to know what men say, so they can help me understand God's Word. It's what I'm doing now. The power is not in what I'm saying. The power is in the Scripture. I'm just trying to help you understand what the Scripture is saying. Now, there are devotionals. There's a plethora of devotionals, but I want to give you three options this morning. These that I've gone through, I go through the whole year, and I've done it several times with these particular resources. We'll put these online for you, but if you're taking notes, the first one is Streams in the Desert by L.B. Cowman, C-O-W-M-A-N. Streams in the Desert. It's a classic. It's been around for many years. It will really help you gain God's wisdom as it helps you understand God's Word. The second resource is New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp. New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp. I've been through that one several times. I really like it. That devotional began, he did tweets every day. And it was an inspirational tweet from based on God's Word. And he was challenged by several people, you need to develop that thought. So he wrote a devotional book. And it's excellent. The third one is a weekly guide. There are 52 chapters. And it's called The Celebration of Discipline. No, that's not right. Devotional Classics. I'm sorry. Devotional Classics. And this is by Richard Foster. He's the editor. And what he's done is he's taken devotionals or excerpts from ancient writers. This is not necessarily deeper. It's just more intense. There's more study to it. There are questions that you answer. I've done this personally, and I've led groups, gotten with other guys, and I've gone through this material with them. And you just take your time and work your way through it. But these three resources are excellent for you. Again, it cannot be a substitute for the Word of God. The third thing that I want to encourage you to do in order to experience God's wisdom is to spend 30 minutes a day in prayer. 30 minutes a day in prayer. Well, Pastor, I don't pray much, and I cannot imagine praying for 30 minutes. I don't know if I can get through 5 minutes. As I said before, if you're alive, you've got a lot to pray about. You just start praying. And you'll find that 30 minutes will go just like that. It will not be near enough time in your personal, your daily prayer time. If you're praying for God to teach you from His Word, I like to read the Word of God first, and then I spend time in prayer. I want to meditate through prayer on what I've just read and let God speak to me about it. Because prayer is not just talking to God, it's listening to God. But look, pray about your family. They have needs. You start praying for them. I promise you 30 minutes won't be enough. You pray for what's going on at work. You pray for our church. You pray for our nation. You pray for those who are in leadership in our nation. You start praying, I promise you, you're going to find yourself praying much longer, and you'll be able to pray. You won't fall asleep. You'll pray. I know what happens. I know you pray, and you'll find you'll be praying more. There are good books on prayer, but nothing will teach you more about prayer than praying. God, the Holy Spirit will help you in that process of praying. The next thing I want to encourage you to do is to have a spiritual conversation with one person once a week. Now, some of you, that might be daily, but a spiritual conversation once a week. No, you may not be able to share the gospel in that setting, but you're in a situation and the Holy Spirit's going to say, okay, now this is it, do it. You'll just feel something. And you just start steering the conversation. And it may be something as simple as, hey, I can tell you're stressed out about something. How can I pray for you? You'll be amazed at what happens in conversations when you ask simple questions like that. And God will open up the door. Perhaps even a person recognizing their need for Christ. Now, the last thing I want to encourage you to do is this. Do not allow anything in your life that will compromise the name of Jesus Christ. Don't allow anything in your life that will compromise the name of Jesus Christ. You know where that place is in your life. And look, as we're into God's Word, as we're praying, it's the process of refining us. And you might not even know it. That's the dangerous thing. You might not even know that that's in you that is creating compromise, but by the power of His Word and by the power of His Spirit through prayer, that you become convicted. Whoa, I didn't know this was wrong, but now I know it's wrong. Well, see, that's a great thing that's happening in your life. That's wisdom. That's spiritual maturity. That's growth. That's transformation. Now look, everything about the Christian life is really summed up in the last 5 minutes of what I've shared with you. That's what this is all about. It's knowing Him. It is allowing Him to transform us. Because that's what's good for us. We need that and we need His wisdom. But it brings glory to Him. It brings glory to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world can see the difference that Christ makes in our lives. I believe that's what we need in 2021. Let's pray. There might be somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I think today I need to give my heart to Christ. And let me tell you, that's the wisest thing you can do, is to come to know God through Jesus Christ. That means that you understand that Christ died for your sin on the cross. He rose from the dead. He's conquered sin and death. He lives today and He wants to live in your heart. And it means that I'm going to be a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ. You know, the word Christian is used 3 times in the New Testament. The word disciple is used 292 times. That's what it means to be a Christian. A disciple. A learner. A student. A follower of Christ. And if you desire to have that relationship with God, you come this morning to one of the pastors and we'll help you make that commitment to Christ. Most in this room, those who are watching, probably know the Lord. But there's a place in your life where you need God's wisdom. He knows where that is. It's just a matter of seeking Him now and asking Him as James teaches us. God commands us to ask Him. And He wants to give you wisdom generously. He wants to help you. Just take a moment today and ask Him. There are others. A wise step for you is joining our fellowship, becoming a member of our church, uniting with God's people. And if that's what He's leading you to do, you come. Others who might need to come and pray here at the altar, maybe you want someone to pray for you, then you come. Father, I thank You that we can possess wisdom, true wisdom. Not a wisdom that the world gives, a wisdom that You give. And it is always right. Father, help these who need to make commitments now in their journey of faith. In Jesus' name, Amen.